Hi, thanks, Paul. The intimate God. It's the latest in our Jesus-shaped God series. I really enjoyed the series. I've enjoyed the readings we're doing in Luke. And I just am reflecting again, just rejoicing again, really, in the fact that Jesus is life. He just turns all of our notions on their heads. And so this subject, he does the same. Philosophy can make God distant. God can be ideal, God can be spiritual, God can be out there somewhere, but unknowable, untouchable, unchangeable. Religion, that can make, we can put things, saints on pedestals, we can put, things that we admire out of reach. And Jesus comes and says, no, your God is well within reach. Religion is terrible. It even gets to the notion that God can't abide evil, that you can't be in the presence of evil. And yet, nothing could be further from the truth because, well, he doesn't like evil, obviously, but even Satan can come and talk to him, it says in Job. And Jesus hung out with the worst people in Israel at the time, the tax collectors and sinners. So let's put all those kind of notions to one side, and let's re-examine who our God is in the light of what Jesus had to say. And let's our hearts be warmed, let our hearts be refreshed by the truth that he reveals, because the truth is so far distant from that. The truth is that God loves you. The truth is that God loves every man, woman, and child unconditionally, that he wants to live with us. He may not be happy about where we are right now. We may be doing things or thinking things or saying things that cause him grief, but he wants to be with us so that he can walk with us and lead us to a better place. And that's what we want to talk a little bit about this morning, this intimate God. So, what is intimacy? I guess when we mention that word quite often, sexual intimacy will come to mind. That's a shame in a way, because intimacy is so much more than that. Yes, there's wonderful intimacy between a husband and wife. But intimacy is about being close. It's about sharing heart. It's about knowing one another. It's about, knowing what someone's thinking just by a look or by how they seem as they enter the room. Intimacy is really knowing. It's close friendship, knowledge of someone, doing life together, and that's what God wants from us. Husbands can develop it with wives. Friends can develop it. We can develop intimacy with time and with love. That's the way to do it. So, why are we talking about that? Well, as I say, Jesus reveals this God who wants intimacy with us. Intimacy, in a way, is the kingdom of heaven. It's God invites us to live with him, to live in his story, to live from his story, and to work with him to bring salvation to creation, to rescue people and to rescue this world that he's given us to look after. And he wants to do that intimately with us. God wants intimacy. Religion puts God out of reach. You see, we'll never pray enough. We'll never read our Bibles enough. We'll never fast enough. We'll never give enough. We'll never serve enough to feel good about ourselves and to feel that we can partner with God rightly and receive the good things that he has for us that Keith was just mentioning. But God wants those things for us. In Luke's gospel, in our readings this week, there was a time when Jesus was encouraging his disciples not to run after the things that the world runs after, not to run after clothes or food or to worry about those things that we need to live. And he says this in Luke 12, 32, he says this wonderful thing at the end of that passage. He says, "Fear not, little flock. It's the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom." Let those words sink into our hearts right now. Fear not, he says to us. It's God's good pleasure. It's our Father's good pleasure to give us the kingdom. All of the kingdom. And in Luke's gospel, again, chapter 11, just after he's taught his disciples how to pray, and we'll look at that in a bit, he teaches his disciples how to talk to God. But at the end of that little passage, he again says something quite astounding. And he says, ask and you'll receive. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened. It says, if you fathers, you know how to give good gifts to your kids, you parents, you love to give good things to your kids, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask? How much more will God live with those who ask? That's amazing, isn't it?
I'm having glasses.
That's beautiful. How much more will God give us his presence? Not because we've earned it in any way, just for those who are hungry for it, those who want it. So this is our God. He wants deep, close, intimate relationships with us. The truth is, he's committed to it. He's already decided he wants it, which is why it says, you know, if you draw near to God, he will draw near to you. He wants it. The only open part of this is down to us. Do we want it? Are we wanting intimacy with him? And the only thing that holds us back is ourselves. So if that's true, how do we go about developing intimacy? Well, many people will do that with disciplines, and disciplines can be really helpful. For me, one of my favorite disciplines is to read scripture. I've done it most days since I became a Christian 30 odd years ago. And there's a great joy in that for me. I actually feel God's pleasure when I read the Bible, when I'm wrestling with it and trying to understand what he's telling me. And I love it. It helps me live with Jesus. I often go away refreshed having read the Bible. But all of the spiritual disciplines, we've been talking about the holy habits in Marlow, haven't we, recently? And they can all help us develop intimacy if they're approached rightly. They can also be damaging. I remember fasting once. I was fasting every Thursday. Towards the end of a season of doing that over many, many months, God rebuked me. I was actually physically sick, and I felt God say, actually, Colin, your fasting makes me a bit sick. And it's because I wasn't doing it with the right motive. I wasn't actually developing friendship with him in those times. I was just doing it as like a something I've got to do, a duty I've got to do to make prove that I'm spiritual, I'm disciplined, I was puffing myself up rather than actually getting to know my God. So if we approach a holy habit as a discipline, so we can feel good about ourselves and what we've done, then that never work. But if we look to develop our friendship with God through it, so through prayer, it's learning to talk to God. In silence, it's learning to listen to God and notice people and things and hear him speak to us. Fasting should be about recognizing our need of him more than food. And so all the holy disciplines, you know, can help us if we approach them well. So I want to talk a little bit about the one that Jesus gives us in Luke 11. His disciples obviously have noticed something remarkable about him. And they say, teach us to pray. Teach us to talk to God just like you do, Jesus, because we want what you have. And this is what he said in verse 2 of chapter 11. When you pray, say, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone who is indebted to us. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. So we're familiar with those words. Many of us can say them in our sleep. I want them to become alive to us again today. I want them to really impact us again, because I think they're a bombshell. I think they're amazingly powerful. We live in them and live from them. So we want to explore intimacy with God through love, grace, trust, and wholeheartedness as we look at this short prayer. Love, because we begin with our Father, and this is Father's Day, how appropriate we should be talking about intimacy with God on Father's Day. This could be his day as well as our earthly Father's Day. Because when we call God Father, we immediately enter into an intimacy, a loving kind relationship with him. And that's what Jesus is calling us into. I know many of us, or a lot of us, haven't had necessarily the best examples of fathers, although probably we could all say some good things, some lovely things about our dads. But God's inviting us into a relationship, or Jesus is inviting us into a relationship with his dad, the loving Father. And I love that fact that it's our Father. It's not my Father. That can be exclusive. That can put me in a good place and others in a not so good place. But actually, Jesus wants us to be inclusive so that we draw people into our special friendship with God and want others to experience that special friendship with God that we have. I'm not excluding people, remembering that God wants everybody to walk with him. That's a great revelation. The prayer goes on, doesn't it? It says, forgive us, give us, deliver us. It's all about us. It's about humanity. It's not about me. So we begin in love, receiving God's love, but also welcoming others and trying to love others and everybody to be in that communion with their loving Father. We move on to grace. Forgive us our debts or our sins. Knowing or limiting ourselves to what we deserve will really never develop intimacy. We'll never get close to God if we only get what we deserve. None of us will be able to be near to him on our own merit. But if we can get past that, if we can humble ourselves and actually just say, forgive me, and I'd just like to be with you, God says, okay then. That's amazing. Grace is outrageous. It's outrageous, but God's grace is massive for you and for me today. And if we're honest, as soon as grace leaves a relationship, it ends. You know, you see that in marriages. Marriages that flourished at times and born a lot of good fruit. As soon as grace leaves, as soon as you start to point out each other's faults and not look beyond them and not forgive them, it quickly deteriorates and ends up in a downward spiral. But that's true of any relationship. We need grace. If you want to be intimate with someone, if you want friendships, grace is a key to that. Extend grace. Believe the best in someone and you'll draw out the best from them. It's the same with God. You know, we live in a feedback culture and I'm quite grateful for that. It's good to get feedback, positive, helpful criticism. But, you know, we can also be critical and we can be just too good at looking at others and seeing their faults and talking about them. And that's harmful. Try fasting criticism for a week. Try letting nothing come out of our mouths but what is encouraging or building up and see what that does for our friendships. We might be surprised. So there's grace. Grace is important and Jesus calls us to grace. Forgive us as we forgive others. Trust is also there. It says, give us today the bread of tomorrow. You see, we only really develop intimacy with God when we trust him. As we discover he's faithful, we have a journey with him. When we ask for stuff, he does stuff. Like, you know, I love that story that Keith was talking about, the woman at the well. If you'd have known who it was, he said, you'd have asked me and I'd have given you because I'm generous. And we discover that in our lives. If we never put ourselves in the place where we need him, but we need him to show up, if we never make ourselves vulnerable, then we might never develop that trust. Of course, we all need him, you know, even to breathe and to live. We all live and move and have our being, it says, doesn't it, in him. But we do that subconsciously. We don't ever consciously place ourselves in the place where we need him to show up. We might never discover his faithfulness towards us. And that was the point of Sabbath, wasn't it? Remember, Jesus, in the Old Testament, God taught them about Sabbath, about collecting twice as much as they need on one day so they can have enough to not work on the Sabbath. They could take years off not sowing and planting crops, and God would still look after them. It's all about God wanting them to know that he's faithful to them, that he will provide for them, even when they're not working, when they don't deserve it. I remember this week at my small group, I shared, just saying, I'd love an opportunity to share my faith, please. Lockdown's not given me enough opportunities. That was on Monday night. And on Tuesday, my mum came round with my sister-in-law. We sat in the garden and chatted. And the subject came up of what I was going to do in the next season, how I've got some time now, my MA is coming to an end. And I said, what do I do? I don't know. And my sister-in-law said, how did you get to this place? So I told her a little bit about the journey of how, having worked in IT for many years, I felt called to the church and felt God's call to give up IT, and then wondered how I was going to live, saving. I didn't know where the money was going to come to pay the mortgage, and how someone prophesied that we would have 70K, and 2 months later we got 70K. And that was an amazing story. You've heard it before. I won't go into the details, but as I told her the story, she just asked more about it. So I spent about half an hour telling story after story of God's faithfulness as I put myself in a position, Satan and I put ourselves in a position where we needed to trust God. And God showed up and was faithful to us. And he still is today. So if we're living in times of plenty, put some aside, maybe we can have sabbatical years. Maybe we can take time out. Give time back to God. Put ourselves in a place where we need to trust him. I remember the first time I did that, had some money saved up, but not enough to cover the whole year. I thought I could sell my car. But I couldn't sell the car. It wouldn't work. And I remember going to the church office halfway through the year. A year I was given to God. And the secretary asked me if I could buy some milk on the way. And crying, I literally wept. And I said, yes, I would do that. But could I claim the money back? Because I didn't know where the price of a pint of milk was going to come from. And because I had a mortgage payment coming up, didn't know where it was going to come from. But that month, someone gave us a gift which helped pay the mortgage that month. And then the company started paying me, even though I wasn't working, they started paying me £1,000 a month. So God provided for the rest of the year. And amazing, just amazing. And stories like that come when we put ourselves in the place of needing God to show up. And we develop trust with him through those experiences. The prayer goes on. It says, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. I think this talks a little bit about being wholehearted. I think we fall for temptation when our hearts are steered by greed or by fear. So if I'm fearful I don't have enough, I might steal something to get what I need. Or if I'm greedy, if I lust after something and I really want it. I remember as a young man wanting a skateboard and couldn't afford it. And really looking and dreaming. I almost came to the point of stealing one. Shamefully, I did steal something when I was a kid. But that comes from wanting and looking and lusting after something you don't have. Our hearts are not wholly given over to what we already have and trusting God to provide what we need. We lie when we fear the consequences of the truth. So when we say, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil, we're asking God to give us a whole heart. And we might be wholehearted after him, that we might close off those avenues of temptation driven by greed and fear. So we develop intimacy with God through knowing his love, through experiencing his grace, through being gracious with others, through trusting him, through learning that he's faithful and dependable, and through being wholehearted. We experience again that he delivers us from evil. But what's the fruit of this intimacy? For me, that's clear, it's joy. Jesus often says, I tell you these things so that my joy may be in you. And that's my experience is joy in my friendship with God, with Jesus. That's the reason I dance. It's joy at God's utter grace towards me. Let's again embrace the grace of God towards ourselves. Let's be filled up with his joy as we experience his friendship for us. You know, Jesus was so full of joy at the relationship we have with his Father. He was often accused of being a wine bibber or a drunkard or a glutton, hanging out with the wrong people, partying, when he should be religious, should be fasting, should be, you know. The religious people didn't like what they saw in him. But God is generous, you know, and if you read those passages from Luke, you'll see again and again, Jesus compares relationship with his Father. He compares the kingdom to like new wine. He compares it to a feast. He compares it to a party going on in heaven. He compares it to all these things. This is the fruit of intimacy with God. That's one fruit. The other fruit is fruitful labor. Because when we know God, when we get to know his heart, we realize that what he's after all along is very simple. What he's after is love. That's what it says in John 15, you know, love one another. If you obey my words, if my words live in you, then I'll do whatever you ask. It's my Father's glory that you bear a lot of fruit. And he says, I call you friends because you know what I desire. And this is my command, love one another. Very straightforward stuff. Hard to live out. But I think as we come to the end of lockdown, this is really important. It's been a traumatic time for us as a nation, for us as a world. Many of us have struggled during these days. Many of us have lost loved ones during these days. Many of us are fearful about the future, what it might hold. We're out of the habit of knowing how to relate to people except on a little screen in front of us. And as I was thinking about that, the words from Paul came to me from 1 Corinthians when he's describing love. And when he begins to describe it, he says, love is patient, love is kind. So I was thinking, that would be really good for us to practice as a fruit of our intimacy, as a fruit of our friendship with Jesus in the coming weeks and months, as we begin to emerge out of lockdown. Practice patience, practice kindness. That will lead to intimacy, intimacy with other people and intimacy with God as we receive his patience and his kindness towards us. Let's make every effort to be patient with one another. Not demanding we all get it right quickly. Let's make it a priority to be kind, not to just notice where people aren't getting it right, where they could do better. But let's focus on how we can be a blessing to them, how we can speak words of kindness, words of encouragement to one another. And our intimacy will grow. So I want to leave you with that challenge as we enter into love. I think it's a word for us in this season. Love is patient. Love is kind. Receive patience for yourself. Receive kindness for yourself and your Father. And be patient and be kind with everyone as we emerge out of lockdown. Thanks for listening, guys. God bless you. And may your friendship with Jesus keep growing. Amen.